If I were to tell you that I saw somebody roaming in the street last night, what are the first thoughts that come into your mind? The first images? Do you see somebody that has purpose? Do you see somebody that has direction? Or more than likely, are you going to be asking yourself, what were they doing there? And that would not be surprising, because that is precisely what the word roam means. It means to walk or travel without purpose or without direction. It simply means to wander. And in life, when it comes to the most important issue anyone could ever face in life, that is the issue of where they will spend eternity when they die, many people are simply roaming in the streets. They're wandering. They have no purpose and no direction when it comes to this issue of eternity. And I believe this is due to the fact of living with an absence of an eternal focus. Many people are living for the here and now. They're living for this world. They pour their hearts into this world. They're focused on this world. And eternity is so far off in the future that it isn't addressed until later on in life. Or maybe when one becomes deathly ill or is faced with a life-threatening situation. But is that when we should address this issue of eternity? Right before we die? We don't know when we're going to die. We are told in Proverbs chapter 27, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." We will face our mortality. That is inevitable. That is not something that can be stopped. And so it would be wise for us to address this issue of eternity before death comes upon us and we're not prepared for it. But it seems to me, in my experience in speaking with other people, that most are simply unconcerned when it comes to the issue of their mortality. They simply don't give their mortality a second thought. Now, when it comes to this issue of eternity, if you were to sit people down and ask them what they believe concerning eternity, you would find a wide variety of answers. For instance, you would find that some people would tell you they do not even believe in an eternal state of existence. Some would tell you that they do not believe in heaven or hell. Others might tell you that they believe heaven is simply a higher state of consciousness that can be achieved through meditation. Some would tell you that they believe being a good person and doing good deeds and acts of charity will get them into heaven. Other people might tell you that they believe because they were baptized as an infant, that'll be sufficient to get them into heaven. And then there are those who are all-inclusive. That is, they believe everybody from every faith will get in heaven, whether it be Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, or Christian. There's others who belong to cults that will tell you, unless you join their particular religion, you will not get into heaven. There's others that say you have to go door to door and convert people, and if you don't do enough converting, you won't make it to the pearly gates. There's others who will tell you flat out they do not even believe in the existence of God. Concerning Jesus Christ, there are some who would tell you that they believe he was a good moral teacher, or maybe a prophet at best, but that he is not the Savior of the world. The point is this: so many people are roaming on different roads when it comes to this issue of eternity. Many believe they have the correct map. They believe they're traveling in the right direction. Unfortunately, they don't realize they're lost on the way. Now, there are others who realize they're lost, and they're looking for the map, the proper directions that will lead them down the right path. My wife and I were coming home from dinner the other night, and we were quite a ways from home, about 60, 70 miles, and we had to follow a detour in order to get home. Well, it was raining that night, the windshield wipers weren't working that well, and it was very dark on those roads. Well, needless to say, we missed our detour, and we realized we were lost. And so we turned around, and we stopped at a gas station to ask for directions. And the cashier gave us directions, and so we got back in the car and started traveling again. And then we finally realized that the directions that this man had given to us were incorrect. So we kept going, we kept traveling, until eventually we came to a dead end, and we had a choice. We had to turn to the left or to the right. Now, that wouldn't have been a problem, except that on those signs telling us what highway it was, there was no indicator whether the left was east and the right was west or vice versa. So we guessed. We turned right, and we guessed wrong. It ended up being the wrong direction. Praise the Lord, we eventually came to a small town. We stopped and asked for directions again. He gave us directions and said, just take 67 north, straight up, and it'll get you back on the interstate. We checked what he said with the map, and the map confirmed what he said. And around 20 miles later, we were back on the interstate. But here's the point. One man gave us wrong directions. Another man gave us the correct directions. If we would have kept going in the wrong direction, we would never have gotten to our destination, which was home. When it comes to eternity, many people have been given the wrong directions, and they're lost. Unfortunately, they're not doing what is necessary to get them back on the right road. They're not asking directions. They're not checking their map. Eternity is not something we have the luxury at guessing at. We are either right or wrong. We are either traveling east or we're traveling west. We are either traveling away from heaven or we are traveling towards heaven. We need to see ourselves as travelers here in this world. We are all travelers journeying down a road, which is eventually going to lead to an eternal destination. And the sad and frightening reality is that most people are going to remain on this roaming road, this wandering road, until the day they die. Now I want you to listen closely to what the Son of God, Jesus Christ, has to say to all of us travelers here on this earth. Concerning eternity, he says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I encourage you to follow the map of Jesus Christ. Take his directions. Take the straight and narrow road that leads to life eternal, and bypass the broad road to destruction. Right now, I would like to take you on a little journey. I would like to take you on this straight and narrow road that bypasses the broad road to destruction. The journey I'm going to take you on is down the Roman road. The book of Romans is a book of the Bible written by the Apostle Paul. And on this journey, this brief journey through the book of Romans, we will pass by 8 signs. After the 8th and final sign, you will come to a crossroad. At this crossroad, you'll have to make a choice on which direction to take. The direction you choose to take at this crossroad will determine your eternal destination. And though the road may seem a bit dark at first, I assure you, at the crossroad, there is light. There is both light and darkness at the crossroad. The direction you choose to take will determine whether or not you receive the light of life or outer darkness. And so let's begin this journey down the Roman road. And let's begin with the first sign. The first sign from Romans chapter 1 verse 18 reads as follows. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." And so here at this first sign, we are showed the certainty of God's judgment, that God will judge all people who are ungodly and unrighteous. We travel on to the second sign, where we come to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And so the second sign shows that we are all unrighteous in the eyes of God. What does this mean? It means that God will have to judge all of us, since, according to the first sign, God's wrath is upon all who are ungodly and unrighteous. To the third sign in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." This third sign shows the universality of sin and guilt. That is, everyone is a sinner. Thus, everyone stands guilty before God. The only exception to this rule is the sinless Christ, who sinned not once while he was on this earth. The fourth sign from Romans chapter 5, verse 8 reads, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so here in the fourth sign, we see God's love for sinful humanity. If God had wanted to, he could have left us to die in our sins and then sentenced us to an eternity in hell after we die. But God loves all of us too much for that. And so he has provided a way out. He has provided forgiveness through the death of his son on the cross. And that is not just love. That is unmatched, unparalleled love. To the fifth sign in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death." This shows the payoff for sinning against God. And this includes both a physical and a spiritual death. Spiritual death eventually leads to the second death, which is an eternity in the lake of fire, as described in the book of Revelation. In the lake of fire, you will be fully conscious and aware of your surroundings. You will fully feel the pain and torment that you are in. It is a place that is absent of any hope. It is a place of outer darkness. It is a place you do not want to go. But in the midst of this dark reality, there is light, there is hope. For in the sixth sign, the second half of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we read, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so here we see that eternal life is possible. Yes, the lake of fire is a possibility, but eternal life is as well. And we see in this verse that eternal life is a gift from God. It is not something you can earn by doing good deeds, for it is Christ who did the good deed by paying the penalty for your sins when he died on the cross for you and then rose from the dead. Therefore, eternal life can only come through him. It cannot come of your own efforts. Salvation is a gift from God. To the seventh sign, where in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, we read, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Here in the seventh sign, we see that it is only through Jesus Christ and the blood he shed for you on the cross that can save you from God's wrath. And so just as eternal life cannot come through our own merits, we cannot appease the wrath of God through our own merits. Only the blood of Christ, sacrificial death of Christ, can appease the wrath of a holy God. Now to the eighth sign, in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the eighth and final sign reads as follows, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so the eighth sign tells you what you must do to be saved. You must call to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would also like you to pay special attention to the certainty of the promise. You shall be saved. Not possibly, not maybe, but you shall be saved. And so you have now arrived. You have come to the crossroad. As I said before, at the beginning of this journey, you will be asked to make a decision once you come to the crossroad. At this crossroad, there are two directions to take, and that is all. To your left is the roaming road, the wandering road. The devil is holding out his hand and is offering you independence from God. He is offering you the lusts, the pleasures, and the sins of the world. He has told you that there are many ways to God, many ways to heaven. He has tried to convince you that the Bible is not a divine revelation from the one true God. He has tried to convince you that what is most important in life is the here and now. But he is, as Jesus Christ says and describes him, the father of lies. And so Satan has lied to you. He has not told you that on this road is God's eternal wrath and judgment. This is hell's road. But it is your choice. You do not have to go down this road if you choose. For to your right is the Roman road. Jesus Christ is holding out his hand, and he is offering you union and fellowship with God. He is offering you God's love, mercy, forgiveness, and salvation. He is going to give you truth. The one who sent his son to die for you has not lied to you. Today, if you'll make a decision to repent, that is to change your mind about your sin, see that you are a sinner in the eyes of God and make a decision to turn from those sins and put your full trust in Jesus Christ and take His right hand of fellowship, you'll be given the gift of eternal life. Confess you are a sinner and tell Jesus you do want to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. This is the only way you will be saved from God's wrath and receive eternal life with Him in heaven. Which road are you going to choose to take? Two different choices, two different consequences. The Lord will not force His hand upon you. It's up to you what road you choose to take. We plead for you in the name of Jesus Christ to turn right. If you have any questions regarding something you may have heard on this audio message, feel free to contact us at Trumpet Tract Ministries, that's TRACT Ministries, Post Office Box 371352, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53237, or contact us at our web address, www.trumpettracts.com. And if you have gotten saved through this message, we also would like to hear from you so we can rejoice with you and pray for you. And we would also encourage you to pass this message along to somebody else to whom you think it may be beneficial to. Until we hear from you, God bless. And remember, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ.